It's time for another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. But before we get into our awesome guest, I've got something exciting to tell you about. If you love listening to the Crypto 101 podcast, you're getting two episodes a week, hearing from top crypto experts and learning about their companies and projects. Well, guess what? Now you have the opportunity to hear from 47 top crypto experts with a full jam-packed 3 days. It's all happening during our event called the Digital Currency Summit, where Bryce and I are bringing on crypto experts to pick their brains and discuss what they believe will be the best crypto opportunities for the rest of the year. This is a virtual event happening from July 12th through July 14th, and your ticket to attend is totally free. To reserve your free ticket, go to digitalcurrencysummit.com and click the link to sign up right now. Again, that's digitalcurrencysummit.com. For a preview of this event, we're talking to Paolo Arduino, the CTO of Bitfinex. This interview is also featured in the Digital Currency Summit. Enjoy this bonus, and we'll see you at the Digital Currency Summit. All right, everyone. Welcome back to another podcast here at the Crypto 101 podcast. It is Pizza Mind, your host today. And my God, what a crazy world we are living in right now. And I'm talking about the crypto world. It seems like a game of musical chairs right now, where every time the music stops, another platform doesn't have any liquidity and they collapse. So on our show today, we brought someone who knows how to withstand the test of time. It is none other than Paolo Arduino, the CTO of Bitfinex, one of the oldest crypto exchanges. Paolo, welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast.
Thank you very much, Aaron, for having me today.
It's a real treat to get a chance to pick your brain on all these things, crypto, security, and also get a big update on what you guys have been up to at Bitfinex since the last time we chatted, which is it's been a couple of years now. You've been really busy working with your nose to the grindstone, pumping out new products, really pushing forward the mission of financial inclusion. Let's start there. What are you guys doing over at Bitfinex over the past couple of years? Give us a big roadmap update.
Sure. So first of all, Bitfinex is once again focusing and reaffirming its focus on Bitcoin as the most important instrument that we have today for financial inclusion. So personally, I joined this industry in 2013, and more formally in 2014, joining Bitfinex because of that, right? Because you know, there is so much to do to bring billions of people today that still don't have access to basic financial services, right? So I'm a lucky person. I have been living in Europe my entire life, and in Europe, banks work pretty okay, I would say, but it's not the same in everywhere else in the world. So we are seeing in Turkey, Latin America, and India. So there are so, and in general, in Africa, of course, we are seeing so many people that struggle on a day-to-day basis to have basic access to financial services. So, you know, when we think about Bitcoin, we shouldn't think to Bitcoin and crypto with our own hat, but we should think to it as, you know, the hat of people that really need it more than probably us. So the mission of Bitfinex is trying to support Bitcoin, facilitate its development, explore additional developments. For we are betting a lot on Lightning Network as a scaling layer. We are also funding research and development for Lightning Network enabled tokens. There are different protocols we have invested in, like RGB, Omnibolt, and we are, of course, discussing with Lightning Labs for Taro and so on and so forth. So it's if you ask me what we are doing the best, is probably trying. Of course, we are probably the most professional trading platform. We offer all the professional tools, but also I feel like we are kind of a bastion for the Bitcoin ethos. Yeah,
I love that, a bastion for Bitcoin ethos. That's not something we hear often on this show. So I love just the terminology you're using there.
And really, it's building out Bitcoin's desire to be electronic cash, to be able to be used for international payments. Not so much this get rich quick or even get rich long thing. It's to be used, essentially. That was the original vision for Bitcoin. And I love that you guys are continuing to fill that even today. Also, as an exchange, as one of the biggest exchanges, in fact, and one of the most prominent. You guys are battle-hardened, battle-tested. You guys have had literally everything under the sun thrown at you to try and take you guys down, and you survived. What was it about Bitfinex and specifically your approach at security and building good products that you think may be lacking in other areas in the space as we continue to see one domino fall after another lately?
Yeah, I think that one of the most important things is that as a team, we always deeply cared about the industry, right? And we understood the industry really well. And we never actually invested much in many projects, right? So we have been seeing, especially in the last 2 years, right, 2020, 2021, where a really interesting ride for the crypto markets, right? Everything was going up. And a ton of companies, and we found out in the last month, I would say, a ton of companies were in effect borrowing money, uncollateralized money from others, from lenders. Lenders were making a ton of money in lending customers' funds and so on and so forth without any basic risk management. So in the last 2 years, Bitfinex focused in improving its institutional tools. When you ask about security, we don't use Google Cloud or AWS. We actually took the decision already in 2018 to move all our servers into a dedicated data center where we could choose our own hardware. We could set up our own hardware in our own cabinets. So that gives us direct access to the metal. That is actually what is important when it comes to security, when you are dealing with people's money. And of course, when you are a good platform, you have traders, you make money, it's also important to invest in the things that are really important for the ecosystem. You know, we tend to not invest in the first crypto projects that come to knock to our door just because they might make 100x in profits. There are so many VCs that do that. I feel like there is, and that is basically kind of removing the liquidity, the potential to the Bitcoin, the actual Bitcoin investment. So, as you know, we have invested in Blockstream. We have invested in many Bitcoin related projects just because we feel the urge to keep doing that. And also that grew. So Bitcoin is the only thing that was never hacked, right? And that's what it teaches us as well. It teaches us to build something that is resistant and resilient to the wrath of God. So that's every day in our life, we wake up, we know that we have to protect people's money, and we will keep doing that with all our efforts. And that is our primary focus rather than trying to leverage some crypto tokens for our own benefit.
That really is forward thinking. And we're so glad that somebody's doing it. As one of my favorite thought leaders on Twitter, I just want to pick your brain on one more thing, just in general about the ecosystem. When we have these big bridge hacks for $100 million, $500 million worth of a lot of different ERC-20 tokens, what is kind of the big exchange's role in trying to react to some of these things, whether it's your own internal policy there at Bitfinex, or is there some kind of working relationship that all the exchanges have with each other to try and recoup some of these funds?
Yeah, first of all, it's important to understand that centralized exchanges are subject to regulations, right? So it's important that you cooperate as an exchange, you cooperate with the regulators and law enforcement. So the usual process is when a bridge gets hacked, this bridge will start contacting the exchanges. Of course, the bridge will follow the money, but also exchanges have a team like us, have a team that will monitor all the different communities, Twitter primarily, and Telegram, to understand what happened and how we can help. So we are always at disposal of our communities. And if, for example, Bridge suffered a hack, we are collaborating. We use our tools that that we have introduced in our platform, like Chainalysis, to track the funds and trying to freeze the funds when they hit, if they hit our platform. So in the end, it's really important that you take all the steps that you can do in order to save people money. That is true for Bitfinex. That is true for Tether. You know, we are in this industry for, you know, to try to create a better environment than the traditional financial world. I believe that is true also for you. So if we are not all brothers in a way, and we don't try to help each other, then it will become a mess, and we will never be better than what we try to change in for all this time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that's one of my favorite things about this industry is the nature of collaboration instead of competition. You know, even now, there's no government bailouts coming for any crypto companies. There's no, you know, big lenders coming in with billions or trillions of dollars to prop up the market or make users whole. That's something that companies in our industry are jockeying on their own to try and do to save a lot of these platforms and keep customers' deposits as whole as possible. So it's interesting to see what people are choosing to do when they don't have to. And I think it's really going to shape the next wave of our industry going forward. So it's a very, very interesting time. And you mentioned, you know, although you're very, very Bitcoin focused on growing that ecosystem, Bitfinex actually has its own exchange token as well. The Una said Leo token, which in my opinion, is one of the best white papers I've read over the hundreds that I've read before. And it's almost like something that you guys were keeping in your back pocket for a long time. Yet it came out very, very suddenly. Rather than talking about the origins of it, you know, that's all old news that people can look up on their own if they're really curious about it and haven't heard about it. But tell us, what does the Leo token do in the Bitfinex ecosystem?
So Leo has different purposes and use cases. So Leo can get you access to fee discounts, of course. Also, Bitfinex is buy and burn in Leo on a real-time basis with 27% of its revenues. So that is one of the most interesting mechanics. Instead of doing those big burn events that that some exchanges are doing, we do it constantly. There is a transparency page, leo.bitfinex.com, where you can full track that. There are a couple of other interesting aspects. One, the first one is that that is one of the most discussed aspects, especially in this recent period in time. So in the white paper, we stated that we will use 80% of the proceeds, the net proceedings from the hack recovery of the hack coins of 2016 to buy back the Leo from the market, from the traders, and so on. And the second aspect is that we are going to use 90% of the funds that we will get back from crypto capital that is still in active development, still to buy back the Leo tokens. So these are two really interesting market dynamics that are unique to our token. So in a way, you can say that at least a portion of the Leo token price could follow the Bitcoin price, because it's kind of linked to the possibility of Bitfinex getting back the tokens from the coins stolen in 2016.
I would take it a step further and say it's kind of tied to the success of Bitfinex itself. So, and I think it was one of the first tokens to really do that, not so much in a direct way, but it really aligned incentives much more so than just a trading fee discount or some kind of, you know, gas fee that was kind of the trend at the time. And I really feel like that is going to be the trend going forwards, where you see token holders, network operators, developers, all with the same kind of incentives for participating in that economy.
By now, you've probably all heard about cryptocurrencies. You might already be investing in them, but did you know that you can invest in cryptocurrencies through your retirement account. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly right. With iTrust Capital, you can buy and sell cryptocurrencies from a crypto IRA and get the same tax advantages as a traditional IRA. So iTrust Capital allows you to invest in over two dozen of the most popular cryptocurrencies. And unlike the stock market, you can buy and sell 24 hours a day. So the iTrust Capital platform, it's super easy to use, and it only really takes a few minutes to create your account. And setting up an IRA with them is free, and iTrust has no account opening fees and no monthly fees. So look, it's time to start taking back control of your financial future. And with iTrust Capital, you can get all the tax benefits of a retirement account while investing in crypto. So sign up today and receive a $100 funding bonus when you open and fund an account. Just visit itrust.capital/crypto101 to start investing today. Again, that's itrust.capital/crypto101. Taxes and conditions apply. Fees apply. Cryptocurrencies are a speculative investment with risk of loss. iTrust Capital Incorporated does not provide legal, investment, or tax advice, and please consult with a qualified legal, investment, or tax professional. All right, on to the show.
Would you agree that that's going to be a trend going near the future, and really tokens embracing more of a security type model where there's dividends and revenue sharing, and you can actually have like price to earnings ratios in crypto? Or do you think that's still kind of like a very rare pipe dream that people are going to try and avoid?
So the point you are making is great, because it really touches on something that it's really dear to me. With Bitfinex, we created in 2021, so just last year, what is called Bitfinex Securities, because we understand that the future cannot be just utility tokens, right? Our industry started from 2017, you know, with the big ICO boom. It was all about utility tokens. Everyone was trying to avoid B2B tagged as a security. But there is nothing wrong with securities. Securities have really interesting aspects. So they can provide coupons, dividends, they can provide additional transparency, they can provide voting rights, and so on and so forth. That's why thinking about security tokens, we are one of the first exchanges, if not the first exchange, that have actually a license in our license is issued by Kazakhstan, but we are working with other jurisdictions to actually provide a platform, a technological platform for security tokens. And is so this license that we got is actually quite broad and astonishing. So we can allow companies that want to use our services to run IPOs, or so to raise capital for their stocks, or raise capital for debt, that is a bond, right? And then they can, you know, raise capital and create a fund, a really proper fund. And then, of course, after the initial capital raise, so the IPO, as you would call it normally, you could then, we can open secondary markets for them. And we were a kind of fork. We could decide to use this new license to list Apple stocks, Google stocks, and so on, as many exchanges they did. But actually, we decided that this was too important. And we are focusing actually on trying to create a platform where companies that are coming from the emerging markets and developing countries like Turkey, Africa, South America, and so on, India, and so on and so forth, can actually raise capital with really, really low fees, with a platform that is streamlined, where the processes are fully streamlined, are simple, and are all built around the user. So you know, all these companies, there are companies that are between $20 and $500 million in market cap. And it's really, and they are not, you know, all the shiny companies in Silicon Valley or in New York. They are companies, again, in emerging markets, but they are beautiful companies. They're companies that are working on their territory, on their local community, and they are profitable. They are, you know, they build great products and services. And yet they will never be able to be listed on a public market because the fees are insane, because there is so many companies, so many intermediaries that want to make money out of them. So we want to be the platform for them. So help them to raise capital through the crypto community that for such a long time, you know, at some point, I think that Shiba Inu was a $40, $50 billion market. I mean, I believe that there is so much space for these companies to raise capital through from the crypto industry that could devote capital to legitimate companies that need capital to create opportunities in their own countries. So we want to be the leading company for that.
I love it. Just another way that financial inclusion is taking a step forward. It's helping founders get the capital to build their dreams and disintermediating it more traditional institutions and all their middlemen, which is really the ethos of crypto as we continue to go back to it. So great on you for that. Let's talk a little bit more about that. And just in terms of growth that you've seen since that launch, I know maybe market conditions are not that favorable as we record this towards the end of June here in 2022, but are you still seeing a lot of builders wanting to come in and participate in this platform, or have you seen it slow down? Where are things at?
So I think that builders are keep flowing to this market. Of course, capital is more restricted, right? So many, many people, companies, hedge funds lost cap, MVCs lost enormous amount of capitals. And I believe that we just touched the tip of the iceberg, right? Because if someone can, we'll never admit or publicly that they lost money. And so it's still to be seen what is the real damage. But when it comes to the builder, the developers, the companies, the founders, they are still there. They are still working. They are still looking at their dream to be accomplished. So there will be always a need on platform for them to keep to raise capital. And you know, I think that one of the issues of our industry has been giving too much capital for simple projects, right? I come from, you know, I recall that with my first startup, when I raised $250,000, I mean, it was a lot of money. We could do so many things with that amount of money. And now in crypto seems like the very same things, but if you don't raise at least $25 million, I mean, you go anywhere. And $25 million, of course, will last a couple of months because, they are using all the crazy things and, events and so on and so forth. So we need to be, and sorry to be annoying here, but we need really to be more careful in the way the money is spent, because it's still a lot of money, can be used to, instead of funding one single company, could be used to fund 10, 20, 50 different companies. And I think that we are now, of course, that the liquidity is a bit more restricted. VCs and companies like us will be even more careful in the way the money, so in giving money to builders. And the due diligence process is something that we as a community, I'm talking about, need to become better at. So I think that these moments are also a learning opportunity to grow better and not go back to the same old habits that the traditional finance industry teaches us.
Yeah, very well said. This is a big reset moment for crypto. And a lot of the founders, developers, like everyone really has to take a good hard look at themselves and say, what kind of world am I supporting? We teach our community over here that every dollar is a vote of power. And you want to empower the right people and the right things in the future, not so much just what's going to make you a quick buck tomorrow. If you do the right things, the profits are going to come on their own automatically. You don't have to worry about that. So, and speaking of which, I want to talk a little bit more about Bitfinex Pay. And as you guys are seeing, crypto payments grow throughout the world. Are you hearing any more rumblings of countries legalizing Bitcoin as legal tender or adoption of it? Can you give us, you know, an update from where you sit?
So I think that it will take a bit more time for, and especially, you know, now there is a lot of fear in the market that does not help the pushing forward other countries to follow up. But I think that, you know, Mr. Bukele, El Salvador president, had a meeting with 44 people from different countries, especially emerging developing countries. And I believe that he was able to explain why he took that decision 1 year ago, almost, or a bit more than 1 year ago, and how he's still benefiting the country. So it's always a balance between public perception, scare, and education. I think that, you know, Bitcoin will keep growing in adoption also across countries. Myself, I'm involved also in adoption, in pushing the adoption of Bitcoin in the city of Lugano, that is a city in Switzerland. It's a beautiful story there, and I'm finding the most forward-thinking and open-minded people that in the administration that are actually supporting and understanding this is a huge opportunity. And, you know, the more the time will pass, the more countries, more cities will follow the same path, because this is a big adventure. And I believe that cities will need to, and countries will need to see a template. And so I believe that El Salvador can be a template for a country. Lugano can be a template for a city. So I'm still bullish for the long term.
And with that said, it just shows how still early we are in Bitcoin's life cycle. You know, we try and tell our community, you know, we hear a lot of, you know, how can Bitcoin ever be cash if, you know, this price goes up and down all the time? And says, well, you know, one Bitcoin's always worth one Bitcoin. There's that old meme. But if you start thinking in terms of pricing things in sats, it doesn't have to be relative to a dollar. It can be what it is by itself, regardless of what this is trading for on the open market. And it's training people to think in sats and using Bitcoin, not just as a cash, but a unit of account as well. And it's a whole different philosophy around thinking about money. Can you give us some additional advice on how to train our minds to accept Bitcoin in our daily lives and, you know, make it the most useful as possible?
Well, the simple question would be, do you prefer to be dollar rich or sat rich or Bitcoin rich, right? So in the end, in one, if you are basing your life in the amount of dollars that you have, keep in mind that there is the dollars get printed by the day. We have seen that trillions and trillions, I believe more than 50% of dollars were printed in the last 2 year and a half. On the other side, if you decide to be sats rich and keeps, so if you, your unit of account is in satoshis, and so basically your goal is to have always more and more satoshis, it means that so in the end there are only 21 million Bitcoin that can be ever created. So you are keeping accruing your wealth against something that will never change. So maybe short term, yes, it's, you are subject to volatility, but long term, it's a much more future-proof approach. Also, the dollar might not be the let's say the reserve currency for in 30 years or 20 years from now. It's always based, I believe that the tricky part is not thinking to the next 1 or 2 years, but thinking to the next 10 to 20 years. That is how I base my life.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Before we let you go and get back to building great stuff, can you give anyone who's brand new listening to this podcast, maybe this is their first crypto podcast they've ever heard, just leave us with some words of wisdom about surviving and thriving into their journey in the crypto space?
So I think that one of the most important things, it seems obvious and it's easy to be said, but is build your own knowledge, right? So there are so many voices in the industry that are that are kind of in contrast with each other. So I think that, first of all, you need to understand why this entire industry was born, right? So if you don't understand the history of something, you will keep repeating the errors. That's why, for me, education is critical, because I feel like if we lose the fact, so, you know, Bitcoin was born in 2008, and well, the first transaction was January 3, 2009, and it was referencing the metadata was referencing the crisis of the financial, big financial crisis 2008, right? So this entire industry movement was born for that specific reason. So we should keep talking about it. We should never lose our history. And as a listener, as a newcomer, you should first understand the philosophy before understanding the possibility in terms of making money out of the industry. The technology is beautiful. The technology is probably one of the best technologies ever created in the last 100 years. Has enormous potential, not just as a currency, but also blockchain as a tracking system, as a transparent system, and so on and so forth. But if you are planning to invest in this industry, be careful, learn, study, and then never forget the roots.
Very well said. And where can people follow you for more of your thoughts and thought leadership in this space?
Well, at Bitfinex or at Paolo Arduino, so names your name on Twitter. I'm the guy that makes memes most of my time.
That's great. All right. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for everyone to everyone at Bitfinex for building amazing products and pushing the mission of financial inclusion so much closer to reality. And we will see all of you crusaders of CryptNation back here on the podcast same time next week.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.